Would turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 30. With the possible exception of Romans 8, John 6 is about the most marked up chapter in my book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the words of Christ underlined in red. I like it. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I'm going to stop right there for right now. Here again, more the words of Christ about himself. And he was speaking to this group of people who were for now, and I emphasize for now, following him, seeking him. Now, the reason I emphasize the words for now is I know how this story ends. I've read the rest of the account. And it ends well. It doesn't end the way a lot of people want it to end. But it ends the way God wanted it to end. It ends the way Christ wanted it to end, and it ended well. Sometimes the best thing can happen to you is people go away.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's something to be noticed in an overview of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know of anywhere else that's ever really mentioned or noticed, period, in other church buildings. Because there are several times when you read in the Gospels where Christ spoke to multitudes. Then you'll read on a little bit later, those multitudes are gone. They just kind of disappear. And then Christ would be speaking to his disciples. And then later on, Christ would speak to another multitude. And the next thing you know, that multitude's gone. And Christ is speaking again to the 12. What happened to these multitudes? Well, as I said, I know how this account ends. And it's pretty much the same way for every other one. These multitudes seem to come and go and come and go over and over again. And that's because these multitudes do come and go over and over again. They gather for a while and then they just sort of go away. Even if some other places tell you that this has happened, they don't tell you the reason why.
That's right. They don't tell you why.
This account at the end tells you exactly why.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'll tell you why, because I read it. It's not a secret. But some people do not want to admit that human beings have a problem. Because what drove these multitudes away from Jesus Christ is that he spoke to them. His words will drive people away from him.
Amen.
And they don't want to have that. They don't want a Christ, I talked about it the other day, who is a divider.
Mm-hmm.
Who came to bring division. I came to bring a sword. But that's what his words do.
Right. Yeah.
And it happens in this account. Christ's words caused the multitudes to leave. And this happened over and over again. Walter, I got to thinking about, we were talking after service about that sign on that church building. There's too much world in the church. And there's not enough church in the world. I got a fix for that. Well, at least the part about too much world in the church. I got nothing much for more church in the world. I can't help you with that part. Because there is no answer for that. Because the church is not of the world, even though its members are in the world. But if you want less world in your church building, I got a cure for that. It's quick and it's easy. All you have to do is preach the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's all it takes. The reason you will have less of the world in your church is because if you start preaching the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has saved who he wanted to save, and he's saving who he wants to save, and other people leave him, and he's okay with that. You start preaching that, and pretty soon you're going to have less people in your church because they won't have it. And if you got less people in your church, you're going to have less world in your church building. There never is, and there never will be, any less people in Christ's church. But there can be less in your church. Now either that'll happen or they'll throw you out if you start preaching the truth of Christ. In which case, you don't have to worry about how much world's in that church. So, if you preach Christ, it's essentially a win-win situation. But they won't do it, because they know it'll split it. If they know the truth. If they know it exists. Because people have told Walter, I'd preach that. But it split the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it has. And it will again. Because the truth of Christ, the words of Christ, are divisive. They are dividing. Sharper than any two-edged sword. But anyhow, I got to thinking about that. Christ said here, I am the bread of life. And not only that, a little later on in this chapter, he says it two more times in a slightly different manner. But he repeats it three times. I am the bread of life. Bread is called the staple of life.
Amen.
The foundation. Our fathers ate manna in the desert. Bread from heaven.
Yeah.
Christ told them, Moses didn't give you that bread. There is a lot of stock put into Moses that Moses didn't have in himself by these Jews. God did give bread from heaven. He tells them a little later on, he says, your fathers did eat bread, did eat manna in the desert, and they're dead. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. These people who Christ was talking to, and this has to do with what he was saying here, where he got into, I am the bread of life. These people are the same ones that ate of the loaves and the fishes. That's who they were. And Christ told them that, that they sought him because they ate of the loaves and the fishes and were filled. He said that to them. They came, where is it here? When they crossed over, they found him gone. The disciples crossed over in a boat. Jesus Christ walked on the water, caught up with them. The people woke up, found out Christ was gone. There were no other boats gone, so they followed. And it says something here, very distinctive, where it says, and I wanted to find the right spot. Wind blew, there it is. I'll find it here. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. That's verse 24. They were not seeking the Christ of God. They were seeking this man who gave them food. And they were seeking this because they had had their bellies filled. They were seeking a corporeal reward, a fleshly reward, because they had been filled yesterday. And they wanted to be filled today. Physically, Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He left them on the other side of the sea, but they followed. But they followed for the wrong reason. He told them that. Because notice, they weren't seeking after the Christ of God. They were seeking the man who fed them. He told them then, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endures to everlasting life. Because there is more to life than getting your belly full. Now, I'm not going to preach against eating, because I'm pretty good at it. But there is more to life than that.
Amen.
Much, much more. And he said, I am the bread of life. Because he told them that in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. The answer is in Christ. It's not in the loaves and the fishes. Everything is in Christ. When he says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. That's what he means. The bread of God is a person. The bread of life is a person. And this bread of life came from God. I got tickled when I read verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave it. He said, my Father, again. That got him in trouble in chapter 5. That's when they sought to kill him all the more. He's still calling him my Father, because he still is his Father. Then that's when they asked him, what shall we do to work the works of God? And Jesus answered him, this is the work of God. Verse 29, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen.
That's what the bread of life will do for you. The bread of life causes men to believe him. Then that's when they asked him for a sign. Everybody's looking for a sign. Walter, that church you went to where that fellow was upstairs running the tape machine? And they had evidently a little mess of a meeting. And this fellow told Walter after the service, because he was upstairs running the tape machines and recording and all this stuff, and the speakers, I guess. And he told Walter that he wished he could have been down there where the Holy Spirit was at. Because evidently the Holy Spirit can't make it up to the second floor. That was my thoughts and Walter's thoughts. We've had this discussion. There is no break. I'm sorry. Not in the world. There is no break from it. It's there all the time. The bread of life causes men to believe in Christ. Verse 36, right after, he says, "I'm the bread of life. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." The bread of life was standing in front of them. They saw him with their own eyes. They heard him with their own ears. And they still didn't believe. Now, if you want to talk to me about gospel regeneration after reading that, you go right ahead. I'm going to tell you something. If the gospel from the truth of God spoken by the Son of God, how is my preaching supposed to help regenerate anybody? I don't think so. They wouldn't listen to Christ while he was here. And when they did, they sought to more to kill him. Now this bunch was a little different. See, they got fed. And it says that when Jesus perceived that they were going to take him by force and make him a king, then he left. But they hadn't heard him talk yet. So they followed him over, and they're going to hear him talk now. And they're not going to like it. And that's the way it is. You can get people in through various programs. You can get people in. Earl used to stand up here and say, he knew how to build a church. I know he did. But that doesn't get anybody to Christ. There's no way we can get anybody to Christ. The old saying, let people see Jesus in you. They had him. And it didn't help. That's how depraved we are. When the Lord of glory can tell you, I am the bread of life, and you are so dead you can't hear. That's how dead I was. And it took the bread of life to give me life, to give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Because that bread of life is eternal. He continues on. Okay. Where is it? This is when it really starts. After I'm the bread of life, and he says, you believe me not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The bread of life is eternal. I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. It's another one of the this is. For the book of John. This is the Father's will which hath sent me that all... of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I am the bread of life. This is the Father's will. That he is the bread of life. There is no life outside of Christ. There's nothing but death and condemnation, which already has passed. And this is the condemnation. Life's come in the world. Y'all love darkness. The Son of God speaking to you, and you believe not. That should be enough to scare somebody to death if they weren't dead already. But since they're dead already, they're too dumb to be scared.
Yeah.
I was there. I can say that. I was too dumb to be scared once. But Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Because the bread of life is a person. Now, get to the next one here. Because he carries on, I'm going to, for the sake of time here, excuse me, verse 44, I can't skip that one. It's underlined way too heavy. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I say, oh, he draws everybody. Well, good. And I will raise him up at the last day. Is he raising everybody up at the last day? It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And evidently, it wasn't these people. Because you've seen me and you believe not. Now talk about being divisive. It is. Very much so. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Your fathers, well, excuse me, I skipped right over it. I am that bread of life. Not only am I the bread of life, he explained what the bread of life was. And he says, I'm that bread of life. No man can come unto me except to be given unto him of the Father. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Walter, that's eternal security. And that's perseverance of the saints. And that's the power of God. Right there. I'm that bread of life. And that's one statement. And definitely a doctrine that won't be read in church buildings all across America. Because if you read that, you get less world in the church. And less people too. That's the bread of life that I am. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. In verse 51, the third time he mentions it, I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life, and I am the living bread. Which came down from heaven, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he did. the living bread, the bread of life. I am that bread of life, and I am the living bread. And I'm going to tell you right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, He is still the living bread. Because He still lives. Now, I've never been involved in one of these discussions or arguments or whatever. But there are people who have written stuff that I've read where this is one of the arguments that the Muslims give against Christians, is that your God died. So He didn't stay there. He didn't stay dead. And His death accomplished my life.
Amen.
His death accomplished the life of every single individual of His people.
Yeah.
And His resurrection proves it. And He's not dead now. I am the living bread. And came down from heaven, and He went back to heaven. And then, see, Christ got mean. Because He is talking to Jews here. Now, even these were Jews who were wanting to fill their belly. And we continue on with the food theme here. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this is verse 54. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That sounds gross when you read it out loud. It sounds gross when you read it to yourself. And when, with the dietary laws that the Jews had, this was an insult. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. The next thing he says, many therefore his disciples, they heard this. This is a hard saying. He wasn't speaking of cannibalism. I'll say that right now, okay? Just in case anybody's wondering. I don't think they are. But that's what these Jews thought. Christ. The scripture I'm thinking of is Christ in you.
Yeah.
The hope of glory. I am the living bread. I am that living bread. I am that bread of life. I am the bread of life. Christ has to be in you to be the hope of glory. And this is what he was telling these people here that believe not. You don't have me in you. He explained it. It's the spirit which quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But, when Christ said but, you better pay attention. But there are some of you that believe not. This is verse 64. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And that's when he repeated again. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. In verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Right.
And Christ watched them leave. The bread of life watched them walk away. Didn't try to stop them, didn't try to convince them, didn't try to even say anything to them. Turned and looked at his disciples and said, "Are you going too?" I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life. I am the living bread. I am he which came down from heaven. And you've seen me and you believe not. There's the door. Walter, it took two sides, two pages of my Bible to get rid of those people. But Christ did it. But it was only one sermon. What they didn't understand when he said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," I got to thinking, flesh and blood's pretty much all I got. How much of Christ do you need in you? I can tell you how much Christ I need in me. All of him.
Amen.
I need it all. Because before he came to me, I was dead. And I needed the bread of life. I needed life. Period. And he is life. He is the bread of life. I am that bread of life. And I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Whoso liveth and believeth in me hath everlasting life. Because they have in them Christ, the hope of glory. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, this place. Lord, we ask for your blessings through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope, who is our life. Thank you that he came and gave his life for us. Thank you for saving us from our sins, from ourselves. In his name we pray. Amen.